Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Greetings from Sharon Mennonite Church in Elida, Ohio. But we're glad to be here with you this morning. If Dwight would have continued on, he started saying Kyle texted him this morning and said he didn't feel very well. That's a true statement, too. I would love to be towards the back listening to Dwight or Elias or Andrew give a sermon here this morning. But I want to be faithful with what God has called me to do here this morning. I've entitled my message this morning, Hope. The dictionary definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. What are you hopeful for this morning? Some physical examples of hope. There may be some children here hopeful that they don't have to eat peas for lunch. There's someone here hoping that a 200 class buck they have on camera casually walks past their stand this coming week. There may be others hoping in a bank account that is flush with cash that will magically solve all of your problems. These are physical examples of hope this morning. But we're going to look at the spiritual aspect of hope. Like I said, the dictionary definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A biblical definition is an expectation with a certainty that God will do what he has said. Did you hear the difference there? The physical example is a wish or a desire, but the other one is a certainty or a guarantee that it will happen. I have a story I'd like to start out with here this morning. In a small village nestled between rolling hills, there lived a woman named Sarah. She was known for her unwavering faith in God, a faith that sustained her through the toughest of times. One day, a devastating drought struck the village, leaving the crops withered and the people desperate. Many lost hope, but not Sarah. She believed that God would provide, even in the darkest of days. With a heart full of faith, Sarah gathered the villagers and led them in prayer. She encouraged them to trust in God's plan, to remain steadfast in their belief that he would see them through this trial. However, days turned into weeks, and still there was no sign of rain. But Sarah refused to waver. She continued to pray, to have faith, and to inspire those around her to do the same. Then, one evening, as the sun dipped below the horizon, clouds gathered in the sky. The villagers watched in awe as raindrops began to fall, softly at first, then with increasing intensity. It was a miracle. The drought was broken and the land was renewed. The villagers rejoiced, thanking God for his mercy and provision. But it was Sarah's unwavering faith that had moved mountains, that had shown them the power of believing in something greater than themselves. From that day on, Sarah's faith became a beacon of hope for the village, a reminder that no matter how dire the circumstances, with God, all things are possible. I don't think many of us have lived through a drought like the villagers did in this story. Some of us may have, but I know I haven't. But we've all been through tough times. I'm confident I can say that everyone has been through tough times, difficult times in our lives when hope was dim. Times when it feels like we just can't win. At times, it can feel like all we are doing is struggling and taking it one day at a time. When life has us down, it is easy for hopelessness to creep in and invade our thoughts. However, there is good news, and that good news is we do not have to be overtaken by these difficult times. As Christians, we can find hope through faith and trust in God for better days to come. When in need of hope in hard times, the Bible teaches us to persevere through trials, to trust in God's promises, and to find hope in His love for us. We can find comfort in knowing that we are never alone and that God is always working for our good. This morning, I believe hope is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. And why is that? Because that is what His promises are designed to do. They're designed to inspire hope in our lives. Hope gives us the ability to look at situations that come to us and know that regardless of how it may appear, God is going to come through. This is the essence of what hope is. And that goes well with the devotions that we just heard too, when all seems impossible. Is your hope in God this morning? Someone described hope as what oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope to the meaning of life. I'd like to look at hope a little bit here, how hope is described in the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hope is one of the greatest virtues. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Hope is blessed. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Described as a blessed hope. It's described as good in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Hope is described as something that is sure and steadfast. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It is described as better. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. It is described as living. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have multiple ways it's described in the Bible. But what does hope produce in our lives? Hope produces courage. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5 read, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope produces patience. Romans chapter 8, verse 25 reads, But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope produces joy. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Hope produces stability. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It's stable. And then also, hope produces purity. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This morning I've taken the word hope and made an acrostic with the word hope. For H, I have holds on to God's promises. For O, I have overcomes adversity. For P, I have pursue godliness. And for E, I have excitedly anticipate what God has planned. So I'll go through these here and share what I have to share. For H, holds on to God's promises. What promises of God do you hold near and dear to your heart this morning? What has given you hope in times of trial, in the face of temptations? We each have verses that have meant a lot to us through tough times in life, through difficult times that we have went through. And remember, when we hope in God's promises, it's not a wish. It is something that is going to happen. I'll turn to these references here that I have written down here. The first one is Isaiah 40. This is an often quoted verse when someone needs hope. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The next chapter, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help. Start over. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the hand of my righteousness. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And also Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And one more back in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These are some verses that have meant a lot to me the last years in my life. You can insert whatever verse is close to you when you think of God's promises. But one thing that we can hope in this morning is that it will happen. It's not a wish or a desire. No matter what we are facing, whether it is temptation, whether it is sickness, there's stress in your life, you're lonely, you're facing hardships. When things look hopeless, hold tight to the promises in God's word, because there is hope. Okay, for O, I have overcomes adversity. There's a lot of examples of people that overcame adversity in the Bible, but I have chose three that have meant a lot to me, their example, and I'll read those here this morning. Very common story, so I won't go read the stories of them in the scripture here, but I wrote some highlights. You can follow along. The first one I have here is Joseph. Joseph was loved by his father, but hated by his half-brothers. He was made fun of and ridiculed by his brothers for the dreams that he shared with them. He went to visit his brothers to see how they were doing and was promptly thrown into a well. Now, speaking of adversity, it sounds like extreme adversity to me. He went on here, though. He was soon pulled out of the well at the mercy of one of his older brothers, but then was sold as a slave and ended up in Egypt. There he was a slave in Potiphar's house, but he did rise through the ranks until he was thrown in jail on a false accusation. Through these adversities in Joseph's life, I believe he focused on what he could control. There was a lot in his life, circumstances that he was put in that he could not control. But he focused on what he could control. The things that he could control was his attitude, his integrity, and a good work ethic. Joseph did not let his circumstances get the best of him, even though he had every right and reason to do so. The next person I have here is Moses. Moses, as a young baby, was put in a basket and hidden so he would not lose his life. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter and adopted by her and was raised in the palace until he had to flee to the desert because he killed an Egyptian. There in the desert, he was a shepherd until God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses and the children of Israel faced many adversities together once they were finally able to leave Egypt. One of the first adversities that they faced was getting across the Red Sea. There is no way. This looks impossible. Other adversaries faced were lack of resources like food and water, sickness, idol worship, fighting off enemies in the land, just to name a few there. Moses faced many complaints, grumblings, challenges. They challenged him. They questioned his authority. The list goes on. Moses faced adversity that would make any leader want to give up. But Moses persevered, keeping his faith in God, calling on God to help him lead his people. And the last one I have here is Job. How can we talk about overcoming adversity without talking about Job? Job had everything. A good name, a good family, and plenty of wealth, which included servants, land, houses, and all kinds of livestock. You could say he had it all put together. The Bible says he was one of the greatest of all the men of the East. And then we all know what happened. Tragedy struck. He lost everything, his livestock, most of his servants, his houses, and all his children. I mean, can you imagine that? Going from having everything your heart desires and losing everything, including your children. Devastation was all around Job. Soon after this, his body was covered in boils from his feet to his head. But what was Job's reaction? Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I'm afraid that would not be my reaction to losing everything that I owned, including my children. These are a couple good examples for us to follow in overcoming adversity, but there are many more, like I mentioned. Look them up. Study them. See how they overcame adversity in their lives, and use their example to do the same in your life. Overcome adversity. Adversity is all around us today. What adversity are you facing in your life? Are there health issues in your life or someone in your family that won't go away? You've been sick for a long time and you finally get over it, and then there's another strain and you're down sick again. Sometimes that can happen. A temptation you're trying to overcome, but you can't. You're struggling. But you are not gaining the victory. What about depression? Depression isn't something that we often talk about, but is a very real thing in many people's lives. What about stress from work or family relationships? Stress can be a very big cause of adversity in one's life. For us guys, what about balancing work with family life, working long hours to make the paycheck struggle from the making the paycheck stretch to cover the bills at the end of the month? Giving our wives and family the quality time that they need. And for the ladies, it's motherhood. Things can get overwhelming for you guys. You're tired, the baby needs change, your husband can't find his socks, and the children are getting hangry because supper's an hour late. Adversity in our life. These are all day-to-day things that each of us face. But persevere like Moses did, calling on God to help him. Do not let your circumstances get the best of you, like Joseph. Worship God through adversity, like Job did. Verse 26 in Matthew chapter 19 says, "But with God, all things are possible." There is hope in adversity. Okay, for P, I have pursue godliness. Pursue means to run after, chase, or follow. What is godliness? In everyday terms, it means to live a life that shows that God is inside of you. 1 Peter 4:8 reads, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Now, exercising our bodies, it is a good thing to do. Keeps us healthy, keeps us feeling good. And if we stick with it, we can often see the results from exercising. But the verse continues on and says, "Exercising godliness is profitable unto all things." Matthew Henry's commentary says, "Those who would be godly must exercise themselves unto godliness. It requires a constant exercise." The results of exercising godliness are often not as easily seen as the results of bodily exercise, but they will show up eventually. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Are you pursuing righteousness this morning? Are you pursuing godliness? Are you pursuing faith? Are you pursuing love, patience, or meekness? And God has given us everything that we need to live out godliness in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. We have God's Word to give us direction in our how to live our lives. We also have the privilege of prayer. We can talk to God anytime. There are many stories of people who have pursued godliness, but I'd like to take it a little bit more personal for us today. Take a look around you. There are many people right here in this church today that have shown you by example how to pursue godliness. Do not take their example for granted. Ask them questions. Figure out how they pursued godliness in daily living, or how they found hope when times were tough. Appreciate them. Thank them for their faithfulness. Encourage them. Let them know that you care about them. Verbalize your love and care to your older folks. They need it. They're human just like we are. Many times, at least myself, think that the older people, you kind of got through temptations and the devil leaves you alone. But I know, I have heard that that is not true. Blessings to you and each one of you here as you pursue godliness in your life today. Okay, the last one here. Excitedly anticipate what God has planned. Brothers and sisters, are you excited for heaven today? Many times in my life, you get dragged down by business, by church work, by family. But excitedly anticipate what God has planned this morning. As I mentioned earlier, God has given us everything we need to live our life in faithfulness. I'd like to read Revelations chapter 21 and 22. It's a lot of reading, so I'd like you to follow along here. Revelation 21. As I read through these chapters, think of the hope that we can have in Christ if our name is written in the book of life. And this morning, friends, if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, whether you have never given your life to Christ, or if there is sin in your life that needs taken care of, talk to somebody today before it is too late. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured unto the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of all shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his face shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this book, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I know it's a lot of reading there, but it is exciting to me to read. If we are faithful and our name is written in the book of life, the description and the reward of heaven is very humbling and exciting. This morning, are you excitedly anticipating what God has planned? Hope. Hold on to God's promises. Overcome adversity. Pursue godliness and excitedly anticipate what God has planned. Blessings to you as a church as you do that together, but also in each of your own individual lives. Thank you.